This is BBC Radio London. I'm looking at some tech stuff now. Because we had Fevzi on a month or so ago and people really liked him. I mean, he's going to spoil it now, probably. But we thought we'd give it a go. For many thousands of us who have an iPhone, it's become incredibly frustrating when you need a charger. Anybody got a charger? And then no other iPhone owners in the room. Well, in the famous words of Sam Cooke, oh, it's that kind of day, is it? Things are going to change. All electrical devices sold in the EU will need to be USB-C charging cables from the end of 2024, in a move intended to make life easier for consumers as well as to reduce e-waste. There's only one man here to answer questions around this and whatever else comes up in our conversation. The gadget detective, Fevzi Tokka. Morning to you, Fevzi.
Good morning, kind sir.
Have I woken you early? Fevzi is not on that list of top British names, by the way.
Well, yes. No, I haven't yet gone to bed, so I'll be sleeping at some point.
Not during the interview with me, please.
I won't be going to bed with you, that's no problem.
Well, the glaring thing is, and I love it when we get this, is that all electrical devices sold in the EU will need to use USB-C. We're not in the EU. What does that mean for us?
Right, so it's a very good question. So the British government, the UK government, has said that it has no plans to follow suit. But frankly, it's inconceivable to me that we won't end up with the same phones. They're not going to produce separate phones for the UK, less Northern Ireland. Because Northern Ireland, even if UK says it's not going to mandate this, Northern Ireland being part of the single market still, we'll have to have those phones. So it's a case where Britain has had no say in the making of these rules, but we'll be dragged along on the periphery of the bigger market that EU represents.
It's interesting because those of us who have the phones are celebrating it as good news, but I imagine in a political way it might be bad news because it might not be something you agree with that you have to adhere to in future. So it shows how closely we are aligned to what happens in the EU. Now, let's take a backward step and go, what is a USB-C charging cable?
Okay, so USB stands for Universal Serial Bus. It's been around for donkey's years, but the actual shape of the connector and the speed of the data flow through it has changed over the years. So we've got various types of sockets. You've got those little rectangular ones, you've got mini USB, you've got micro USB, yeah, and now you have USB-C, USB-C being the smaller oval-shaped connector. And the problem has been that although all of these companies committed back in 2009 to standardize, and to some extent they have, because mostly it's USB-C.
What's on my Mac, I've got to tell you.
Yeah, USB-C, micro USB, or Lightning. Now, Lightning is Apple's proprietary connector, which is 10 years old now and very slow. It runs at USB 2 speeds, which is very slow by the modern day and very frustrating. One of the reasons I didn't buy an iPhone this year was they've got this whiz-bang video capability that produces huge data files, and then this crummy Lightning connector on it, which will mean it'll take me hours to transfer any video off it at high quality. So I didn't buy it. So next year, if they deign to put a USB-C socket on it, because they've done it for their iPads, it's just that for some reason they're not doing it for the iPhones just yet. So look,
can I ask, is this whole, it seems to me that they're having a kind of, let me call it for want of a better term, an Asian transfer, moving lots of what they're doing from China now apparently to India. Mm. How much has, it feels like they're kind of, even though they've come out with a 14, they're kind of on the back foot trying to keep their market share. But as I say, not revolutionising anymore, kind of slightly evolving, but not in the way that you feel that they'd want to.
Yeah. So with regard to Apple, I think there's no doubt it's been less innovative in recent years. I note that it was 11 years yesterday since the passing of Steve Jobs, and I rather wonder what he would think of Apple as it is today. I mean, highly profitable company, but it just seems like they just innovate just enough to, you know, it used to be, it's not just Apple's fault. I mean, smartphones, which is still the bulk of Apple's income, In earlier years, in years gone by, every couple of years, it was worth changing your phone because there were sufficient meaningful differences that whereby you could do new things now that you couldn't do before. Now,
it's
you
mainly
know,
the camera, isn't it?
Yes, but for, you know, unless you're a sort of YouTube producer, or you know, and even then, you tend to go for the sort of semi-pro kit. So it's kind of a bit niche. So what we're seeing with Apple, but also with other manufacturers of smartphones, is incremental improvements. We haven't seen that big jump. By the way, I do rather wonder how meaningful this legislation on USB-C is, because we are on the cusp of many devices being wirelessly charged and therefore having no charging port at all. So it could just be that, you know, and the other problem with this rule, I mean, it's well-intentioned, as you say, it will cut down on e-waste and it will be more convenient because we won't have to, you know, play charger shuffle trying to find the right charger for our device at any given time. But, you know, Apple's point that it can stifle innovation is a fair one. So, for example, if a company wanted to put a Thunderbolt port on it, or you know,
I just ordered one of those cables because I've just learned how good they are. Can you just tell everybody what they are before we carry on down this kind of line?
Yeah, so Thunderbolt actually uses a USB-C connector, but the electronics behind it is a lot faster. So for those that are interested, you can get about 40 gigabits per second. That's 40,000 million bits per second of information through one of those. And that's really, you know, the way to go. So this rule, by the way, it applies to smaller devices at the moment: mobile phones, tablets, e-readers, mice, keyboards, GPS units, headphones, digital cameras, etc. Laptops not yet. Things over a certain battery size will come to pass. But the difficulty is, if someone wanted to invent something faster and the EU don't keep their rules up to date, we might end up with, you know, old technology.
Oh, well, it will go to Asia or America, and then they'll cotton onto it. Just ask you one more, and it is tech, but it isn't tech. You know, it feels like I'm living in the Marvel universe, where one of the world's richest men, Tony Stark, in this case Elon Musk, wants to take advantage and take control of one of the biggest information sharing services out there. You and I always, because I'm a little bit freaky when it comes to kind of the idea of security and the like. But what is your overview of Elon Musk and that Twitter takeover, which looks like it is now going to happen?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure it is. So this is the on-again, off-again story of Elon Musk wanting to buy Twitter, having made a very generous offer in terms of the price per share, and then realizing that maybe he didn't want to go through with that deal. Part of the problem initially for him was that he intended to fund it by the sale of Tesla shares. And when when people realized that, the cost of Tesla shares went down, which made it much more expensive for him. Plus, the price he offered has been significantly above the market price. And even now, on news that he supposedly intends to buy it again, it's on again at the moment. Although the share price has gone up 13%, it is still below the amount that he's offered for it, which indicates that the market doesn't fully believe that this deal is going to go ahead.
And I suppose he spent so much time rubbishing it, talking about false accounts and the like, that for him to rubbish something that he now goes and buys doesn't sound like good business for the world's richest man, does it?
Yeah, well, I mean, he would just say, well, it was rubbish, but now it's great because I'm going to do it. But look, I personally have some doubts about it. We are 11 days away from the court case, which he was tipped to lose. This is where Twitter is suing him for effectively breaching their contract, the promise to buy, and they're trying to force him to buy at that price. The get out would only be $1 billion. I say only $1 billion, but that's, you know, 2.5% of the purchase price. So I don't believe personally that he's likely to want to buy it at that price. I do wonder if it's a stalling tactic. I noticed that his offer to buy again, or his reinvigoration of his existing offer, is subject to funding and subject to them dropping the court case.
Yes, on condition.
So it could be tactical. Could be tactical.
We'll do this again. Fevzi, just tell us quickly, how can people find out who you are, where you are, and what you do?
These are very deep questions.
Yes,
but
they are.
Important
ones too.
You can find me on Twitter at Gadget Detective, and also there is the Gadget Detective podcast. So if you go to www.gadgetdetective.com, You can find all my output there.